We reached a grim milestone this week here in the state of Rhode Island. More than 1,500 people have now died in this state from COVID-19. This is, of course, cause for deep sadness and calls forth from us the need for prayers and for merciful compassion to all those who mourn. This Advent does indeed seem to be a sad time as the virus surges around the world. So many people are ill, and far too many have died. And in this, the wealthiest nation on earth, many people struggle economically after losing employment. There are too many families that have difficulty paying their rent or their mortgage, or feeding their children, here in this land of abundant resources and plenty. So it is no wonder that we are hearing experts call this winter the most difficult part of the pandemic, in spite of the fact that this very morning vaccines are being shipped so that they may be used to vaccinate people in this next coming week. This is certainly a cause for great joy, for rejoicing. It's wonderful news. But it does not diminish the difficulty of this moment. So it's no wonder that politicians, physicians, and scientists are preparing us for what they are calling a dark winter. For those of us living in the Northern Hemisphere, this certainly is a time that is cold and is dark. As we approach the winter solstice, daylight is in short supply. The nights are long and increasingly cold. Because of this, it can be a challenging time of year for many. But I think this year, the metaphorical darkness of the pandemic even further compounds the challenge of this winter season. And yet, in the depths of this darkness, our lessons on this third Sunday of Advent call us to rejoice, to live with joy. We may wonder how we can do this, but I think it's important to remember that this is not the superficial and sentimental joy of the holiday season, a joy that I at least think is hard to sustain this year. It is instead a deep joy that's rooted in the promise that God is with us even now. God is with us maybe even especially in times of darkness like this. In these most difficult times, God promises to sustain and deliver us. Our hope is rooted in this promise, and that is the cause for our joy. I think it's important to remember that this joy is not to be confused with happiness. Joy is different. Joy is something that's stronger than happiness. And it is not defined by how we feel, by our emotions. And so, unlike happiness, we can experience joy even in the hardest times. Christian joy rests on the promise that God's love will transform this world. It rests on the promise that we are not alone in our trials, that God is always with us, that God is present to us and supports us. For God is faithful and trustworthy and sustains us in the darkness of our trials. It is in the depth of this darkest night that John the Baptist comes testifying to the light of Christ. In today's reading from the Gospel according to John, we're told that John is sent from God and comes testifying to this light. To the light that is the true light, the light which enlightens everyone. This is the light that is coming into the world. Just before the verses that we hear in our reading this morning, there is the verse which says, "This light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." the light to which John testifies, the light of Christ that enters the world, shines in the darkness of sin and death. The darkest forces of this world are not strong enough to overcome the strong light of God's love. There is no force on earth that can extinguish the light of Christ. And so though it is a dark time, yet the light of Christ prevails. John proclaims the one who is coming was present with God at the creation of the world. The Messiah is the Word of God become flesh in the person of Jesus. And John witnesses to the eternal Word that enters into human history, living among us in human flesh. John prepares for the coming of one who shows us how to love God and how to love our neighbor. The one coming teaches us how our relationships can embody the love of God, how our relationships can incarnate God's love here in human existence. The light of Christ is come into the world, and it brings healing to our deepest hurts and our deepest divisions. The light shines the love of God to places of suffering and alienation. We who follow Jesus are called, in fact, to gaze upon the world through this light of Christ, through this light which is the beacon of God's love. And it is by this light that we can get a glimpse of how God sees the world. Through this light, we can behold all creation as loved by God. We can see each person as a beloved child of God. The light shines into our very being, causing fear and despair to depart. The light warms and guides us, even in the deepest darkness of the soul. Just as John is sent by God to prepare for the Messiah to come among humanity, so too we are sent by God. We who are marked as Christ's own through the waters of baptism, who in baptism receive the light of Christ, that abiding presence of the Holy Spirit which dwells within us, we are sent to proclaim the coming of the Savior, the one who is the light of the world. Like John, our call is to witness to the light of Christ as a voice crying in the wilderness of our world, in this wilderness of illness and suffering, of death and alienation. Like John, we are to witness to the light that is life, and we are to walk in the strength of this light, reflecting this light of Christ to our broken world. Just as John testified to the light of Christ, so we are called to do. We are called to reflect the light of God's love to the world by the witness of our lives, through our deeds and actions. All we do in our lives should proclaim the light of God's love come into the world in Jesus. Our epistle today from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians offers instruction in how our lives can embody God's love, how we can reflect the light of Christ to the world. This letter was written not long after the death and resurrection of Jesus, likely in the year 50 or 51. It is the earliest of the epistles we have, and in it, Paul is preparing the followers of Jesus, preparing them for the unexpected. Those who were following Jesus just after his death and resurrection, in that generation, expected that Jesus would return again in glory very soon. They thought that any day Jesus would bring all things to completion. But as the years pass, his return increasingly seemed delayed. And so they began to struggle with how to live with urgency and expectation, how to live watching for the return of Jesus in glory when it was stretching on into years. And there was also a further challenge for this community, this church at Thessalonica. It was a newly formed community, and it needed instruction in how to live. And so Paul, in his letter, teaches them about how to live their calling in Christ. Paul offers the Thessalonians words of encouragement, articulating the Christian life to which they are called. The followers of Jesus are called to live lives wholly devoted to God. Paul calls the community to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul reminds the Thessalonians to not quench the Spirit. They are to be open to what the Holy Spirit is doing in the moment, seeing the spontaneity, the surprise of God's activity, even if it might feel disruptive or if it might call the community to do unexpected things. Through the Spirit, God calls to newness, God calls to be recreated, not to stay in the status quo. And so to live by the Spirit, to not squelch the Spirit, requires openness and flexibility among God's people. Paul teaches Christians should at all times follow the example of Jesus in living lives of self-giving love. This love is demonstrated by nurturing and caring for one another, by witnessing to the world God's love. And this kind of love is not about emotion. It's not about feeling kindly toward another person who returns that love. It is instead an act of will. It is a decision to care for another regardless of emotion or any response received. This is love freely given without counting the cost. This love is modeled on the self-giving love seen in Jesus coming among us. It is the emptying love of God who enters into the creation, accepting the limitations of living in human flesh, knowing the joy and the trials of human life. It is the generous love of Jesus who goes willingly to the suffering and the horror of death on the cross for love of us. Like the Christians of Paul's age, we are called to embrace the complexity of what is an in-between time. Like those first Christians, we live between the first coming, the first advent of God in the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem, and the second advent of Jesus coming at the end of the age. And we live in between those two advents in the tension of how to understand what God wants from us, how God wants us to live, and also admitting the reality of how our lives fall short. We live knowing this world is not yet conformed to God's love. We live in the tension of the end of the pandemic at last coming into view, and yet facing several months of great challenge and suffering before us. In this in-between time, we're called to be rooted in the love of God, embracing the very tension of how God desires things to be and how reality falls short of that divine call. We are to remember God's intention for creation and embrace our call as instruments of God's love in this world by caring for the sick, the lonely, the dying, the forgotten, the despised, for those who are anxious, despairing, and hopeless. Perhaps more than any other Advent, we are called to be rooted in the joy of God's promise that the darkest forces of this world, even the powers of evil, greed, illness, and death, will never overcome the light of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Though the night is dark, the promise is God's love will triumph. We will be delivered. We are safe in God for eternity. The world needs the hope which we stake our lives on. The hope we live is needed more than ever. Just as John the Baptist faithfully witnessed to the light come into the world, giving over his entire life to following Jesus, we are called to do likewise. Let us commit ourselves to proclaiming the love of God by our words and our deeds, that through us others come to know the hope and the promise of God's love. As we gaze upon the world through the light of God's love, as we are led on our journey along the path of this light, may we always reflect the light of Christ to others. By our witness, by the witness of all who follow Jesus, may this darkest of Advents offer the hope that God is at work even now, and that God will deliver us at last. May the light of God's love shine from us to all places of despair, that the hope and promise of God with us in the person of Jesus may come to all people. Amen.